joie de vie, ménage toi.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, good afternoon, Boston. How the hell are you? And surrounding areas, we are Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion, Ted Johnson. And you can call us at 617-779-7937 or listen to us on the Odyssey app. Press that little microphone and launch us a take grenade. And welcome to the end of times.
Yeah,
it is post-apocalyptic outside.
It's yellow.
We are living in sepia tones. So I saw somebody was the best meme that I saw coming in. It's like, it looks outside like the opening of Predator 2 when they showed Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It really looks awful.
Dude, the sun looked so strange last night with all the smoke, too.
It, yeah.
Man, like it was like a different tint. Like, you've seen all the Road Warrior and the you know,
right.
movies recently, and it just the smoke and everything looks tinted,
yeah,
in a certain way, right?
I tried to run in it today, and that was the worst idea
really?
Ever. Like, it burned my eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's weird. It's like, if you have allergies, it makes them worse. It F's up your throat. It I think that hasn't every meteorologist basically said, if you step outdoors today, you're an idiot. It's like worse than as if it was like 110 degrees. Like, it can completely F up your body. I believe it. When is this supposed to go away? I know this is the fires from Canada, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking up where in Canada.
And it's in the jet stream, north of Minnesota.
North
coming down through the jet stream.
Man, yeah. Think about that. How far we are from Minnesota.
Right.
And that's how far the smoke traveled.
Oh, I remember when there were the fires on the West Coast. Didn't we get some here? Like, that was right around COVID, I think. Yeah. It was really, really bad. It's amazing how that stuff can travel. But either way, you know, we'll all suffer the end of times together. You know, we'll face the apocalypse head on and enjoy a little bit of World Cup soccer that's going to be on. By the way, somebody who I know who works kind of around the numbers people says to me today that Argentina is not even going to score, which
really?
Means they
Jeez.
Absolutely will score today, because anytime anyone gives me kind of an inside tip, it's never right. But they say that Argentina's time has come. All these games have been so close that shouldn't have been close,
mm-hmm.
and it is going to, if it's not an ass kicking, it's just going to be a shutout.
Interesting.
In regulation.
Interesting. NLX taking over the world sport as well. I'd be curious how they get to that, but Argentina has been kind of living on edge. They've been scoring a lot late
yep.
in games where you just, you know, so they've been living on the edge. I'm curious, something I find very fascinating, if we have the same maybe version of the game that we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. 2B channel with a player focus.
Yeah, it's just they just focus in on one player the whole time. It will be the most boring telecast today, because the guy that has covered the least amount of ground,
yeah.
so they have trackers on all these players.
Uh-huh.
They can know how far they've run in these games. The guy that has the least amount of ground traveled is Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Yet he's the leading scorer. A goal a guy in the tournament, so mm-hmm. he's scoring the most with doing the least amount of work.
Yeah, he's like Brady. He's smart. He throws the ball away. You know, he's like, what, he knows to conserve his energy.
That's right.
You know, that's why he's lasted in the game for
yeah,
so long. And it is kind of funny, because even a dude like Haaland, you know, from Norway, you know, you've seen, you know, the moments before he scores one of these unbelievable goals. A lot of times he's just like moping around the field, just kind of waiting like a shark, and then all of a sudden he goes 0-60,
yeah.
boom. Headbutts it in, and then he scores. But, yeah, from what I hear, and I'm rooting for Argentina, because I love the Scots so much. An enemy of theirs is an enemy of mine. So screw England.
All right. They'll be insufferable. Yeah, if they pull this off, England will be tough. Do we have a sounder today?
Well, we had one yesterday when we started the show with Menage a Trois.
We'll figure one out. We got to get one there.
Oh,
yeah.
You're counting on Stiz Jackson to figure one out by 3 o'clock.
Well, we
Jackson,
do. Ken and I did come up with something, if you guys want to hear. So do you guys want to hear what we'll play if England, and this can be fluid if we want to change it.
Sure.
This is not the best idea. This is...
All right, England.
Oh, boy, this is...
We should just have Jackson doing an English accent.
Pretty much sounds
like today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you.
No, that's too appropriate, because that's their song. They sing that, and it's so awkward, too. They put their arms around each other, the whole team, and they sing to the crowd, screw England.
All right, so that one, all right, we're going to have to find a backup. Please text in or hit us up on Twitch if you have any suggestions. And then for Argentina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is going well.
Yep.
Right,
don't cry for me, Argentina.
Okay, I like that. I mean, that's just, that's on the nose.
That song gives me weird memories because, like, I grew up in a super Catholic household. My mother hated Madonna. Madonna. Like, I mean, we canceled MTV because Madonna was on there, which pissed me off so bad. And when that movie came out, Evita, it was like her favorite movie. And I was like, what happened to all this? Like, she's the Antichrist. Yeah, but she sings great in Evita. Completely did a 180. So, yeah. So, okay, sure, fine. You know what? Let's just have Jackson do a British accent. How about that? All right? Tea and crumpets or say something like that.
I don't think he's Jackson's accents I don't trust.
There's nothing I trust more.
Really?
Yes. You've got an hour to work on a Jackson. We will do that because that's when the game starts, and we will obviously keep you updated on all that. But there was some sports that happened last night, Stiz.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you
by Patty LaBelle.
By Patty LaBelle and Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Boo this, you battery-throwing, kid-hating Philly fan chuds.
2-2 Contreras smacks it through the vacated right side for a two-out hit. I think about the Mets a couple years back. They had a terrible start. Diamondbacks, year before that. Rangers were terrible midway through 23, came back and won it all.
Yeah, yeah. Crowd not as into it as they were at the All-Star game, or at the Home Run Derby. But it was a perfectly fine sporting event last night, the All-Star game.
It was subpar, let's be honest. Well, as much as I like the Derby, it was not... This thing's hanging on by a thread.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, listen,
I mean, it has been for a while.
Sometimes great events get boring results, but, you know, at least the sound was working properly, and you didn't have to pay to watch it,
That's true.
The Home Run Derby. Well, Wilson Contreras had a single there in the sixth, a nice off-balance play to end the fifth. That was good to see, and Aroldis Chapman needed just six pitches to get two outs in the ninth, striking out Monday's night's Home Run Derby champ. By the way, he has thrown 5 2/3 hitless innings across 7 All-Star appearances. Mm-hmm. He's just been unbelievable. And, of course, Rafaela replaced Mike Trout in center in the fourth, went 0-2, and said it was a dream come true, but it was a very boring dream come true. So do we have Wilson Contreras afterwards? That was the one interesting. Do we have any – because I know that he just continues to talk about how much he loves being on the Red Sox.
Our own Bradfoe caught up with him, and he did have something interesting to say.
Yeah, we hear this.
Don't bother talking about a trade involving me because my plan is to stay here. That would be accurate?
Yeah, kind of, if you ask me. But okay. I mean, I didn't say don't ask for trade. I was like, I told him, like, I would trade something to stay here. that's what I said.
Can you?
That's quite confusing.
Translate that for me. I'm sorry.
Dude, I was going to ask you this question.
Okay.
What does that mean? I would trade something to stay here. I don't know what he's trying to say there, but I think he's just basically saying how much he loves playing for the Red Sox. I think it didn't come out probably the right way, or maybe how he meant it, but because I don't really know exactly what he meant there.
Because the original report yesterday that we were talking about on the air was that he had told the upper management that he would not give up his no trade clause to go anywhere else.
Right.
That sounds a little different to me, and I'm not saying that he's all of a sudden backtracking. It just doesn't sound as emphatic,
correct,
as that first report.
When you say kinda, you know, that's a bad sign. Although at least we know they communicated on some level. Somebody from the front office came to him and said, "How are you feeling about the trade deadline? Would you waive the no trade clause?" Right?
Yeah.
So they had a discussion. So the Red Sox front office is engaged in some degree of planning. That's good. Because we heard the owners were making calls, and then nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I guess they're talking, they're thinking about all their options. But yeah, when he said, "I didn't say don't ask for a trade," it's not like he's on the fence. It's at best, you know.
But I like the fact that he's actually speaking about how much he likes the Red Sox.
Yes.
You know, and I wonder if this would have been the same conversation a couple of weeks ago, you know, had the All-Star game, you know, been back then. And everything's changing. There's a good taste in their mouth, and they're a great story, and he's obviously riding off a high of being very impressive in the Home Run Derby, and now he's the face of the organization. So, you know, it is a strange place to be if you're a star player on this team, because nothing is a given. You don't know right now whether you are more like the team you've been recently or the team that you were back then. I got to think that they've got reasons to question upper management. Maybe, just maybe, they've got a little more faith in what's going on because they like Chad Tracy so much, and maybe some of these guys weren't big fans of Alex Cora. So to that case, they might think that some of them might think management is on their side. I don't know as much about the relationship between Wilson and Alex Cora, but I know a lot of the younger guys probably prefer to have a dude like Chad Tracy.
Now, why do you think they didn't like Cora? Why was he against? Because he was thought of as a player's manager. Like, but, that's and a veteran kind of player's manager.
He liked the older players. Like, that's one thing that seemed to be fairly clear. I mean, the way that he even called out a lot of the younger guys at the beginning of the season, and it might have been Bradford who seemed to like intimate that as well. But we talked to somebody to where Cora liked the older guys.
Right.
But some of the younger guys and the way that they do things, he wasn't a big fan of. And as I said, I don't know where Wilson Contreras stands on all of it. But I do think that there might be some players on this team that might be giving management a little bit of an attaboy because they like the fact that they changed things up and brought in Chad Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who seems to be more of a player that can identify with these young guys and worked with a lot of them. You know, some of the ones that came up from Worcester.
So as far as the hitters go, I hate to bring Driveline back again, but didn't it seem like they were going to fire Cora's hitting coach? Cora said, if you fire him, you're firing me. Mm-hmm. They took him up on that offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a guy in the clubhouse that liked Driveline, you probably are a fan of this. If you didn't and you were sort of old school and you were with Cora, you might not have liked it. It might be like a player-to-player thing. Hard to tell.
But the Driveline, there's still employees from Driveline still here.
Right,
maybe just not the head of it, but there's still... My feeling is they're still teaching those same principles.
No, I think even more so. Yes. But John Sauteropoulos is their hitting coach, and he's the Driveline guy.
But I almost think opposite, and that is that, do you think that maybe when the whole Driveline thing went away, they had less in their head now? Like, when they got up to the plate, there were less voices in their head, less people on the team telling them how to do one thing or the other, and they felt looser, and psychologically they were able to hit better.
That could be, because Kiner Falefa did complain about that. Too many people at Fenway.
Yeah.
So maybe at least there's fewer voices, options.
I also think, guys, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, is that there's players that come here, like an Alex Bregman. If you listen to Alex talk about the Red Sox midway through his time here, it was nothing but love and just respect. I think guys come here, and Wilson was with the Cardinals last 3 years prior.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a great – it's supposed to be a great baseball town too. But I think you get here, and fans – you get you start playing well. He's having a career year.
Yeah.
Fans love you up. You just kind of get intoxicated by going to the ballpark every day in Fenway and playing well and playing for these fans that you start talking – Like he does.
Yeah.
But what if the Atlanta says, we want to trade for Wilson Contreras, and they go to him and ask him, and the Red Sox in a month are back to where they were, don't you think he would want to chase a ring?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I agree.
That opened the door to me. If that happens, Wilson could be out of here.
Things can change. Right. Right now, they're in a place where he feels good about where he is. He's, as I said, he's riding a high of being the man. He's the face of the Red Sox, and that part seems to make him happy. He likes it. And when they put a microphone in his face, he's going to say all the right things because he's just in a good headspace. By the way, somebody on text said, if you remember after Cora got fired, Contreras did say that it felt like a weight was lifted off the players and that the tension was gone in the locker room. I don't remember that at all. Does anybody remember that?
I don't know what to dig. Look that up.
Yeah. And somebody said, well, younger guys like Cora, the ones on the IL? I mean, that's a decent point. either way, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to... it's a good storyline to keep your eye on, is what Wilson Contreras thinks about staying on this team. And I really, just like you guys, we all seem to agree that it's dependent on how well this team does up until the trade deadline. Because if they're out of it and they slip back to what they were, that he would completely waive his no trade clause. The guy wants to win.
Yeah.
He's a competitive dude.
17 games before the
17 exactly until August 3rd trade deadline. So, yeah,
it's a lot of
games.
It's an interesting batch too, because as I was saying the other day, it's like a barbell. You've got your bookended with some really tough teams. Obviously, Tampa Bay is going to be a kick in the ass, but then you got 3 versus Baltimore, not very good. 3 versus Toronto, not very good. 4 at the Athletics in Sacramento, not very good. And then you got 3 against the Dodgers. And then you do the White Sox. So right up until the trade deadline, it's about 500 baseball that you're going up against if you total them all together. So we'll see what they end up doing.
Which I think they went 6-6 last year into the deadline, and the year before they went 3-8, something like that. So they have not, in the last couple of years under Cora, really taken advantage of this or made it obvious going into the trade deadline how good they were.
Well, we'll learn a lot more, and we'll be able to hopefully decipher what they're going to do. I know that there's scouts telling a lot of reporters that they want the Red Sox to go all in this year, which I like. That's what I want. Please. Yes, thank you. Don't half measure. We've got enough of that over the past several years. Mm-hmm. If you are Craig Breslow, you are fighting for your job, do something drastic. Please. I think these players deserve it after what they've done over the last several weeks. All right. 617-779-7937. There was one thing controversial about last night's game, and it had nothing to do with what was on the field, or at least during the game on the field. Let's get to people who had the biggest problem with the pregame entertainment. Let's get to that right after this. 2 minutes, we'll be right back. All right, it is 93.7 WEEI. You're listening to Rich, Ted, Ken, whatever order you want to put it in. And you can give us a call, 617. Hang on real quick. I'm sorry. I just lost the thing. Okay, 617-779-7937. You know, in about like 45 minutes, the England versus Argentina game is going to happen, and we were trying to find a sounder that we're going to play when one of them scores. And someone suggested Chumbawamba, which we had to look up to see if it was England, and it wasn't like Scotland that they're from. It is England. And when I looked it up, I saw that, you know, they're the get knocked down, mm-hmm. but I get up again. I'm looking at the band photo. There's eight people in Chumbawamba. What do they do? Is that like the Boston's where they just have the guy who's the interpretive dancer? I've always wondered if that dude in the Boston's got paid as much as the rest of the band.
Oh, like the triangle guy?
There's a triangle dude. Or in the P-Funk, you know, there was always this guy who just, Dr. Gotsno Funk, I think it was, who would just like put peace sign in the air and wave it back and forth. And I always wondered if he got like the same cut of the pie as everyone else, or the DJ in Incubus.
Hey, they look pretty versatile. I'm told by a quick Google search: accordion, harmonica, banjo, ukulele, and general percussion.
Where did everybody do vocals? Where is the ukulele in that song?
I don't know.
Now I know there's like a horn that shows up in the middle of it when she's saying, "Am I even allowed to say the word?"
Yeah, let's err on the side of caution.
All right, peeing the night away. Yeah. It's like. You know what, though? That song is good when you've been drinking.
That's a one-hit wonder candidate up against Eagle Eye Cherry. Best one-hit wonder of all time.
I can't believe you think Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry is the best. What? There's so many great one-hit wonders.
Okay, give me one.
I mean, I would say, Take On Me by Aha.
Great one.
It's good. Better video than a song.
Great
one.
No, that song rules. Yeah. Like, that's a legit great song. Give me a minute, but I just know that Eagle Eye Cherry is not it.
It is.
As I said, I was more of the sister of Eagle Eye Cherry, Buffalo State.
The poll was decisively in my favor.
Was it best?
I really didn't. But
was it Eagle Eye Cherry versus the field? Best one-hit wonder?
Hey, it's the middle of summer, sure. July 15th. We could do that if you'd like.
I guess so. All right. So last night's All-Star game, you know, kind of boring. I like the All-Star game generally, but, you know, yesterday, unfortunately, it just wasn't much fun. It was a 4-0 shutout. But
27 strikeouts in the game. 27.
Awesome.
Is that awesome?
That part's kind of cool.
If it was Pedro Martinez on the mound, yes, awesome. Otherwise,
signals what the league's been all year. Yeah. I mean, it's been basically the hitters. Pitching's been more dominant this year than most recent years.
But no Judge, no Otani. It's like, can you make those guys play? True. I guess some Otani's hurt.
I know. But, you know, either way, you had entertainment at the beginning. And this is a part, like, everybody seemed to chime in on this because I was on social media when this was going on, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, people are reacting. As a matter of fact, I was kind of in the other room not paying attention until I saw everything started going off on my phone, and I went, oh, I got to hear this. So Patti LaBelle, who's like 82 years old.
Who we talked about on the show yesterday. I mean, for I've not heard her name in decades.
Well, that's why they booked her, because they listened to the show.
You manifested it.
So you go get LaBelle. From Riding on the Freeway of Love in our pink Cadillac. That's her biggest hit, right?
I don't even know.
And then she had that really weird song with Michael McDonald. On my own, this wasn't how it was supposed to end.
I don't think I know that.
Oh, you
she's
know
a legend, though, right?
She's a legend. Oh,
yeah. I think Lady Marmalade song is probably your biggest hit.
Lady Marmalade is... I don't know. That's
Didn't
been remade so many times. Pink was part of that, and a bunch like four, like Christina Aguilera. There was like a big thing with four different singers, but Patti LaBelle may have done it originally. I don't know.
I could real quick. You Are My Friend is a top hit.
It's a banger.
New Attitude.
Oh, New Attitude.
Stir It Up.
Those are not good.
Stir It Up from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Love Has Finally Come. Yo, Mister. These are some of the, Night Kind of Lover.
But she's a fossil. She's 82 years old.
Yes,
all right?
Yes.
So she goes out there. They roll her out there. And you're like, all right, you're going to see an 82-year-old sing. And all of a sudden, everybody gets on there and just starts killing her. They're killing her.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I got to hear this. Is this like an all-timer? Is this Fergie singing at the basketball All-Star game? Or, you know, that was a pretty bad one. I got to go back and listen. And here's how it ended. Oh, say, that song's bad.
incredible.
Thank you. I'm like, what is going on?
That's pretty good.
Like that's like really
that's
good.
So good. I mean, it's particularly her age too.
There's articles written about people who thought it was awful, and I'm like, first of all, she's 82 years old. Give her a little bit of grace.
I just saw Sammy Hagar. He couldn't. He was holding the mic out to the crowd. He couldn't get near that.
Right. People are paying to see David Lee Roth, who literally can't carry a note. It is the over American idling of America. It's like people who just like, oh, if you are absolutely perfect or you put any kind of English on anything, all of a sudden it's the worst. Now, listen, we know what the worst is. We've heard it because it happened 2 years ago at the same All-Star game. Do you remember when that country singer Ingrid Andress came out there?
No.
Okay. If you don't remember this, then let me remind you, this is exactly what a bad anthem singer is. Let's take a listen. Stiz, do you have it? This is just, I want you to hear the final 30 seconds of her doing the national anthem. Let's listen.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free.
Dude, that's the All-Star game. And like, now that is not an American. What's great about that story is that everyone heard it was like, whoa, this, you play the All-Star game. You're one of the best of the best. You're Patti LaBelle level, baby. And apparently she came out. It was such a bad response. She came out the next day and said, I was drunk.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, seriously?
She said, wow.
She said she was loaded.
Did she really?
Yeah. So she said she was completely loaded. Okay, that's bad.
I think that's impressive. Hearing that rendition, knowing she's loaded, though, right?
That's right. She didn't fall down, you know?
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. So give her a little bit of credit. And there's been some bad ones. I mean, there was this one band.
Roseanne Barr.
Well, Roseanne Barr. Yeah. Like, she like, grabbed her,
all-star game,
her junk and stuff and, like, you know, spit. And that was, see, that's the only one that I have found disrespectful. There's people who just can't sing, and it's like, all right, they're trying. Like, the Carl Lewis one's funny.
Yeah.
Because Carl Lewis just can't sing.
On.
But he tried.
Yeah.
But Roseanne Barr got out there and, like, grabbed her junk and, like, spit and stuff. You're like, all right, sure. Yeah, someone said Shades of Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis was not as bad as that, but he was really, really, really bad.
When Ozzy did the Take Me to the Ball Game, you know,
Ozzy?
That was sadly, like, horrific.
You know what, though? It's Ozzy. It's one of those things, too, where you just
sit back. But he can sing.
Well, I mean, can he, though? How much is that is really his voice going through the speakers back? Like, the last, like, 10 years, the dude's been kind of... Had matter of fact, from what I have heard, there was the singer from Metal Church used to go on tour with them, and he would sing behind the curtain, and they would slowly kind of pop one up and pop the other one down when That's Ozzy great. Was going out of
Don't
tune.
Don't do this to me. Just can we let Ozzy rest in peace?
Dude, you brought please. It up, Jackson.
Listen, Ozzy used to have a monitor in front of him that had the words in like 1,000 font.
Well, so does James Hetfield. You know, they write a lot of songs. They've been singing for 50 years.
And once again, Jackson's you should have no problem with that. These are legends. You go to pay homage to them. And by the way, I would almost rather have that than have the David Lee Roth experience where you're just like, egads.
That's funny, because so I went to see Aerosmith at their residency in Vegas.
Oh,
they
I'm
had,
jealous.
They had a monitor, great show, but they had a monitor with the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking of this last night. So Jay-Z just did a few concerts at Yankee Stadium, three shows, all different set lists, right?
Yep.
I was just thinking, all those songs you have to remember. Is it cheating if you have a monitor?
No. It's whatever makes a quality show. I have no problem with that. I'd rather you go out there because, I mean, I don't expect you to be superhuman. I mean, you're talking about Jay-Z. Think about the amount of songs. And then think about the amount of words
exactly.
that Jay-Z has in those songs. Mm-hmm. And he's got to go deep into his catalog and do songs he probably hasn't done in years. Hell no. You put that out there. I got no problem whatsoever.
Cool.
None. Now, I don't like... when, according to reports, guys like Motley Crue literally aren't playing their instruments. And it's a
somebody's
track.
Backstage.
No, it's like apparently they press play and like Nikki Sixx, and you'll see like videos of Nikki Sixx like with his hands like moving around.
And guitars be played.
Yeah, and you hear like a bass guitar. So yeah. So I've got no problem with that. You get out there and you do, you try your ass off, especially if you're a legend like Aerosmith. You have earned it, man. I ain't going to talk any trash on you. All right, 617-779-7937. Here come the calls. All right, we'll take a few of those. On top of that, the ESPYs are tonight.
Oh,
there's
really?
A certain amount of Boston Boston athletes that are being nominated. We'll talk about that right after this.
There you go.
That's a good one at Wonder. is not Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight. That is Ken's favorite.
Thank you.
Of all time. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Brian on line three. Brian, what's happening, my man?
How you guys doing today?
What's up, bud?
I just wanted to call and say thank you for giving Patty her flowers. She's a legend.
Hell yeah, she is.
She did a great job last night.
Yeah, you know what? I Googled her name. So I Googled Patty LaBelle, and almost all of the articles are about national draws mockery from Major League Baseball fans. So it's one of those all of these people writing articles where they just went online and found people on Twitter who are angry at her and then compiled it. But it seems like now, Yahoo's got it. Fox Sports has written a bad thing about it. TMZ is writing bad about it. I'm hearing that. I'm like, dude, that was good. And she's 82 years old too. Let's go to Lena real quick on line one. Lena, what's happening?
Hey, Lena.
Hey guys. Initially, I thought you guys were like giving her, you know, not the credit that she's due. Miss Patty is a legend, mm-hmm. and this is just another example of how our country has changed. You know, you can't be different. You can't have your own interpretation. Everybody wants what they want and what they think is right. It's the same thing that happened during the Super Bowl, the halftime. Oh, that was horrible.
Well, but sometimes it is
most
horrible.
Most of us thought it was good.
You gotta admit there have been some horrible Super Bowl halftime shows. You weren't a fan of the Black Eyed Peas, correct?
You know what? If they can get up there and
No. Lena, you lost me. But I appreciate you calling. Bill, what's happening? How's it going, my man?
Look, hey, you're totally wrong about Roseanne Barr. She didn't grab herself and spit. It had nothing to do with the anthem. That was her commentary on the athletes who were doing the same thing on the sideline while she was singing. But no one had a problem with that. Don't disrespect comedy ever again.
Everyone had a problem with what? Geez, you're mad about that. All these years later, he's still mad.
Can't be serious.
But is that what people were mad about, that Patti LaBelle took like liberties on the anthem and did a spin on it? Because like Marvin Gaye did one of the most awesome versions, like a soul version, where people were clapping.
Chris Stapleton's was another amazing one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of artists do that. They put their unique spin on the end of it. Come on. Seriously, you got an issue with that? People have been doing it forever.
Now, I am somewhat allergic to when people like drag out notes for weight, and they do the hand and the other. Yeah,
You can't. You can overdo the dramatics.
Yeah, sure. It gets a little too dramatic after a while. But there you go. By the way, somebody said best one-hit wonder, Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. That's a damn good one. It definitely kicks the ass of Save Tonight.
If nobody's ever heard of it, it can't be the best.
No, you would know it. Paranoia, everybody's trying to get me.
Okay, I do like that song.
That's a great one. There you go. That's my singing for the day. All right, so the ESPYs, today is really the worst day in, it usually is the worst day in sports. Because the day after the All-Star game, it's usually a dearth of anything good to watch on TV. Thank God we have the World Cup that's going to be here in just a few. But they always end up rolling out the ESPYs. Now, the ESPYs, I've kind of had a weird relationship with my enjoyment of it. You know, the ESPYs for a while were a good watch. As a matter of fact, you know, I think that the Norm Macdonald monologue
with the joke that he was supposed to cut out but did not.
It's to this day one of the greatest moments in live hosted comedy. Like when it comes to someone hosting a huge event, do you have it, Stiz? Norm Macdonald is a genius, and I don't fight anyone who thinks anything different. But this was one of the best moments that any host has ever had at some sort of award show.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. That was great.
That is, yep.
And Norm was great. And now the ESPYs are a pretty good show. I like watching the highlights because I have to be honest, and this is a horrible thing to say, but it's gotten so depressing. They do such a good job with their like important ones that have to do with like, you know, people dying and stuff like that. And they do such a great job. But there's like four of them per ESPYs. And each one is like 20 minutes long. And as I said, I know I'm a horrible person saying that, But I'm unfortunately when I watch it, it's too much. It's honestly too much. And so now what I do is I watch the highlights. Yeah, the next morning I'll watch the monologue, and then you know that'll be about it. And I'll see who ended up doing that. Oh, by the way, we got the expert weighing in online
on the hotline. Jeez.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Greg Hill Morning Show right here on WEEI, my man Wiggy. What's happening, Wiggy?
What's up, Wiggy?
Hey, what's going on? This is Jermaine and Eastie, and let me tell you something. Rich, Ken, Ted, I'm a big fan. Patti LaBelle is an absolute effing legend, and you should never talk about Patti LaBelle. I know she's from Philly. And let me tell you something. If you haven't had Patti's sweet potato pie, Patty can make pie, too. Love you guys. Love Patti LaBelle. Don't ever disrespect a legend, or Jermaine and Easy's coming for you.
Wow, what a sick brag.
Wow, he tasted Patty's sweet potato pie.
I don't know when that happened.
Do you have to know her personally to sample that, or did she sell that? How do I get some of that?
I'm not quite sure. I got it. That's unfortunately, he had to go. But I would love to hear the backstory.
I really hope that's a euphemism.
The sweet potato pie?
Easy.
So,
do you know who Marcelo Hernandez is? He's the host of it.
Yeah, so he is the guy on SNL who's kind of become a breakout star. He's the one who does the great Sebastian Maniscalco impression.
Okay.
He's got, unfortunately, and he's very funny, but unfortunately he has a character that they just did too much. It's the one where he's like, what's his name, Fernando? It's like he's apparently a well-endowed like lover, like, you know, all the women want him, but they used it over and over and over again. And it ended up not being as good. But he's funny. I don't know how edgy he's going to be. You know, as I said, I like the monologue. And the awards, it's going to be basically a jerk off fest for the Knicks. We know that. Like every category.
Brunson is up for best male athlete.
Well, he's going to win. Like,
he's up against Messi, though.
Do you think Messi's literally going to beat Jalen effing Brunson?
Oh, absolutely.
FIFA fixes in.
Leading scorer in the World Cup?
Yeah. What the Knicks just did was insanity. I mean, absolute insanity.
Yeah, championship in 50 years.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's as easy as you think. I mean, this is the world sport, you know, soccer.
We should put a gentleman's bet on it. Me and Rich versus Ken and Ted.
Yep. Messi's going
to
win.
ESPN is going to reward somebody who wasn't the...
No, they'll reward soccer. Come on. They're all about international love.
No. No, come on.
Yes.
And Messi's not even going to be there. He's playing today.
That doesn't matter.
They're going to want to have a guy to come up there. No. Yes, he's going to record it. Thank you. There's no way Jalen Brunson doesn't win that. He's going up against Shohei Ohtani, who's not going to win, and Matthew Stafford, who's not going to win. Jalen Brunson's going to win best athlete. And then best NBA player. I mean, come on. You know, Jalen Brunson's going up against SGA, Jokic, and Wembanyama. Best NFL player. This is where it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get into this a little bit later. But today's been a very strange day for Drake May. Like, Drake May, there's been a lot of lists and articles that have come out about him. For some reason, everyone said, I'm going to write about Drake May on the same day. And it was last night and this morning. And Drake, for a guy who is getting fairly disrespected in a lot of these articles, like we just talked about how he was the 61st highest ranked player in one of ESPN's polls, Drake May is up for best NFL player, along with Myles Garrett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Matthew Stafford.
I mean, no chance he wins that.
But isn't that... It's very strange. People are either hot on him or they are trying to do everything they can to crap all over the guy.
Yeah, I think there's two camps. You're either not sold, you're in the Cam Newton group.
That's it.
Or 1 year was enough to show you the promise that he has.
Yep.
Even there were, who's the ESPN general manager who tweeted out that Jaden Daniels is still the best quarterback from his class.
Yes.
So there are people now like coming back. They see Drake in the top 10 and they're like, well, wait a minute, Caleb should be there or Jaden Daniels should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So this class, though, is going to go. I think we're going to have like 10 years of this debate. Who's the best quarterback of that trio to come out, which is fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to go down as one of the best classes of all time.
Yeah, people forget Bo Nix was in that class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? That's right. Man, what a good class. Best breakthrough athlete, that Drake May is nominated for that, too. He's along with Macklin Celebrini, Alyssa Liu. Who's Alyssa Liu?
No
clue. Don't know Alyssa Liu.
Okay. She's probably a WNBA person. Fernando Mendoza. Drake May could win that.
Oh, Alyssa Liu is a figure skater.
Oh, she's a figure skater. Okay. Oh, she's the one with the nose, the thing in her lip. It's like she's got a pierced, what is that thing that connects your teeth, like the gums to your lip? She's got that thing pierced?
Sure. Not my favorite
Yeah, piercing.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of the nose ring, not the ring, not the hoop ring.
No,
but
no.
The one on the diamond side.
No,
on the side.
This one was kind of wild. It's like it hangs out underneath her lip. She like pierces that weird thing of skin. She was a badass though in the Olympics.
Greg Hill has that.
What's that?
Greg has that.
Really? Yeah, along with his Prince Albert, right? Of course, we all got him around here. As a matter of fact, when you get hired here, they just go step into this room and they bust out the gun. And then I mean, maybe he could win that. That's probably going to end up going to her because she was an Olympian. There's no way they're giving Drake May any awards tonight.
No. I mean, you got to think the playoffs, all nationally televised. Obviously, the Super Bowl. A lot of the games that he was brilliant in, people did not see.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
That's a
big
part of it.
I don't think he's been disrespected. Do you think that's accurate?
Yes, I do think he's been disrespected. As a matter of fact,
I think slightly undervalued is how I would put it.
I will go over, and you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to go over some of the stuff because there's been a lot. I'm not kidding when over the past 24 hours, there's been a lot of people writing about quarterbacks and Drake May. And, you know, there is an element of people who still hate the Patriots. And then there's an element of people who are, you know, think that he's the next great thing. Now, I don't know. Is it someplace in between? Because to be quite honest, you know, the playoffs left a lot to be desired with Drake May. And we absolutely don't know how he's going to start this season. You would have to think that he was injured at the end of the year, and then he's going to be right back on the horse and pick up where he was. But we don't know that. We don't know at all.
Well, 508 Texter is right. Don't forget about the Patriots haters. There is a lot of hate for any Patriot, period. That there is some of that going on still,
sure.
I would say.
Sure. There's not a question.
But given that, he's on most top 10 lists that you see. Jaden Daniels is not on all of them.
Rich, where do you think he was probably ranked this time last year?
Bottom half not even of the, mentioned. Yeah.
So 20th, that's 25th. A big jump in it one is, year, but yeah. we're still being critical. And I think, and rightfully so. Yeah. I think there is, again, I think he's slightly being undervalued. You see it a little different, Rich. We can talk about it.
All right. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls and get to some of this Drake May stuff right after this. All right. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. We've been talking about how Drake May is all over the place as far as these rankings that are coming out, the respect that he's getting, the disrespect that he's getting. I'll tell you one place real quick where he's getting respect, and that is the sports betting websites. Ken, you sent this to us earlier. This is from Bet Online, one of the sports books there, and they've got all the quarterbacks, almost all of them, and they've got over-unders for passing yards predicted this year and touchdown passes and interceptions. And, man, there aren't many people that they're predicting to have a better season than Drake May. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at what they predict his passing yards is going to be, it's right now at over-under 3,800.5.
Oh, over all day.
So you, well, I
and
mean,
last year he was at 4,400. Yeah.
So, but I'm taking a look, and, like, there's maybe three people who are better than him. They've got Dak Prescott at almost 4,000. They've got Jared Goff at over 4,000, 4,099. Joe Burrow at 3,999 and Matthew Stafford, and that's it. And everyone else, they think that Drake May, those are the only people that they're thinking are going to have a better, more passing yards this season. Touchdown passes, they've got Drake May right now at 26.5. What was he last year?
31 last year.
Jeez.
31, eight INTs, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've got him at.
Don't forget, he had like over 600 yards rushing, too.
I mean, yeah.
Which the guys in front of him right now, those, Stafford and Goff, don't rush for 1 yard a season.
And 72% completion percentage, which was, there weren't many people knocking Drake May when he came out, but one guy who did was Merrill Hodge. Oh, and the one thing he talked about was his accuracy. Like, he's not going to succeed in this league.
Because of his accuracy.
And for him to complete 72% of his balls with not a top, well, I guess Diggs was kind of a
point. It wasn't like 10. He was just throwing swing routes into the flat.
Right, right.
I mean, they were deep down the ball.
Correct.
Down the field.
The only players that they've got are quarterbacks with higher TD passes predicted is Brock Purdy with 27.5, Dak Prescott with 27.5, and then Joe Burrow they think is going to have 32.5, which I think is by far the most.
And by the way, not to overkill with rankings, but the Jeremy Fowler receiver rankings were out today, and the only team that had two receivers in the top 10 were Dallas and Dak Prescott. They had CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, both top 10 receivers.
Sure.
So they're, he's loaded.
So now you've got, you know, a guy who was second in the MVP voting, and on top of that, you've got people like this on our text line saying Drake had the third worst QBR in the playoffs in NFL history, played the third easiest regular season schedule for 2025 in NFL history, going to the 2026 season with the hardest regular season schedule. I love May, but he needs to prove it. I mean, he does make a decent point. You know, is it with that schedule, was it tough to be as good as he was. I think that obviously what he did was still impressive. But Ted, I mean, when you hear something like that, it's a decent point.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And the people are going to keep saying that. I will go back to, did you see the conditions in the playoffs? Did any of the quarterbacks that he played against, how did they do in those games?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Including C.J. Stroud, who a couple years ago was kind of Drake May of a couple years ago. And I bought in. I was like, oh, man, C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. How did Justin Herbert do, the guy that is being that supposedly is better than him in a lot of these rankings? So look at the conditions. Factor in the injury. And that's what I would say about the playoffs. And the soft schedule, those are all valid points. But did they just win by the hair of their, you know, skinny, you know, chinny chin chin in those games, or did they blow teams out?
Well, they Denver they did, but he had the signature run in the snow.
No, Denver was in the playoffs. I'm talking about the regular season against the soft teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they annihilate teams, or did they just barely get by and wins and squeak out wins? They crushed teams.
They crushed teams.
So I get the soft schedule. I get the playoffs. But when you factor in those other, I think, things, I think you can look at it more favorably for Drake.
I just think that he's somewhere in between. He's somewhere in between being the guy who was second in the MVP running, and I don't think that he's the second best quarterback by all means. I don't. I think that obviously there's a couple better. Mm-hmm. But I also am looking at some of these lists where they have him at number 61 in the NFL, like the 61st best player in the NFL, where he's got like Lane Johnson ahead of him by 20 places.
You're so upset by the Lane Johnson.
That made me laugh.
I mean, Lane Johnson is a good.
But he's like old. He's like 36 or something. Sure, he's fine. But Drake May was up for MVP.
But to be honest, if you're in Seattle, aren't you more upset that Sam Darnold gets no love whatsoever? And actually, Lamar, I think, gets more disrespected than Drake on a lot of these lists because some people are kind of bailing on Lamar. Not every list. Some people like him, but some people are out. I feel like Drake, if you put Drake in the top 10, it's not disrespect. It's understandable from a national point of view. To your point, Ted, a lot of people didn't watch these games as closely as we did.
All right, let's take Josh Allen, let's take Matthew Stafford, and maybe even Patrick Mahomes out of it. And I'm going to name a quarterback, and you tell me if they're overrated or underrated, okay? Because you know, this is one of those times where everyone's got an opinion. Joe Burrow.
Overrated.
Overrated. I'm with you. Absolutely.
I love him. I'd have fourth right now. Fourth best. Drake third, Burrow four.
Got to stay healthy. And also, he's been inconsistent. Lamar Jackson.
I'd have him fifth. I think he's being overrated, but I think based on this, I think he's underrated.
Think he's underrated.
I think so, too. Dak Prescott.
Overrated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert.
Way overrated.
He's like top five or six in a lot of these
overrated.
Lists.
Most overrated sure. player in this century.
Justin Herbert.
In pro sports, Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert?
Yes.
Wow. Jared Goff. Underrated.
He's kind of...
I'd say...
He had a 105.5 rating last year, so right it's tough to say like he's... terrible, but
you play in a dome. And his career got off. I mean, the last part of his career has been better. I mean, the first part not so good. But so I'd say he's kind of right where he's.
Yeah, I agree. He's kind of right there.
Caleb Williams,
overrated.
Now, see, you love Caleb Williams.
I don't love Caleb Williams. I thought
the highlights are enticing.
Highlights have been amazing, and he now has an OBJ play, a play that is his signature play that kids are going to mock and they're going to do. And I think that that is going to make people's impression of him that he is a better player than he actually is. That stand up throw or the jump pass that he did is amazing. And as a matter of fact, they had him recreate it for the new Madden cover. Mm-hmm. And being a Madden alone means you're going to suck this year. So yes, I would say he is overrated. He's fun to watch. I absolutely love, and I love how people hate him too. Like, there's a lot of people who just can't stand the guy. You're one of those guys.
Man. Yeah. Jalen Brown and Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
huh?
You know what? Yeah, that's very simple. A lot of similarities.
And Belichick.
Yeah.
Is it the fingernail thing? Because he came out with that.
He cried in his mom's arms, man. Come on, man.
And then, did Erling Haaland, though, when they won. He was crying. I mean, you didn't rip him.
And then his dad wanted ownership in the team that he was drafting him. Come on, settle down, you guys.
All right, let's go Brock Purdy. Underrated.
I think he's overrated.
I think overrated.
It shocks me how many times he pops up on these lists.
Yeah, he's just a system guy. I can't imagine him being very good in a
system. I'd put him behind Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Hurts. I think Hurts is kind of underrated now.
Somehow
he's fallen off.
Okay.
I know A.J. Brown doesn't like him or whatever, but... he's good. The guy's a winner.
I don't think he's as good as some people think, though.
Okay,
I'll give you one more underrated. Baker Mayfield.
Ooh,
I think Baker's underrated.
Mega was talking about seeing the new quarterback thing on Netflix is out, and they have some Baker mic'd up action, and he's like ripping his teammates left and right. So I'm kind of curious to watch that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's a real a-hole.
He's kind of a douchebag. Yeah, yeah.
So that, but I like him. I think he's underrated. I mean,
he's a douchebag, but I think that he plays hard enough that his teammates respect him. Mm-hmm.
What about Jordan Love? I think he's overrated almost to Herbert levels. But maybe I just don't see him enough, and maybe he's better than I think.
That's a good call.
I'd say overrated a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he's a little bit overrated. But I think there's definitely potential there, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lost his best weapon, his tight end, last year.
Most underrated is Joe Milton, who you continue to mock despite meeting him at the Super Bowl.
I talked to my friends down in Dallas. They can't stand a guy.
Wait till he gets in and lights up the world. Dak's going to get hurt. Milton's going to go 14-2 this year. It's going to be glorious.
Fraud, I think, was the word that was used a lot to describe him.
Fraud? You talked to him. You had him on Radio Row Week.
Yeah.
He was charming.
I didn't call him out, did I?
No. Slurped it up like soup.
Ted, were you going to go after him? No. I didn't want to be disrespectful. If our guest is sitting there live in front of me, I would be very respectful.
Sure. But I'm sure that you've brought up some things the guests are sitting across from you, and you've done it in a respectful way.
Always.
Criticism
that's
like
not,
that.
Yeah, that's my style. I can't go at him.
Of course. I'm with you, though, but there's been players that I've been like so tough on, and then I meet him, and I'm like, you're an all right guy.
I used to be tough on J.J. Watt a little bit, call him a little fraudy, you know, because he was doing a lot of his self-promotioning.
Hardo.
Dude, and then we had him on, and all he did was love me up. J.J. Watt's the greatest football player I've ever seen. Are you kidding me? This guy's the best.
It's true. It's right. I've interviewed J.J. Watt before, and he's very personable, and he's a good dude when you're talking to him, but then you see him in, like, Hard Knocks. He's like, bring the camera over here. Watch me flip these tires.
Yeah.
I'm the only one sticking around and signing these autographs. All these other jacks are out here just, like, going and taking their showers, and then afterwards, I'm going to hit it with the jugs machine just over and over, and then I'm going to hit the sled just while the camera. Don't leave, cameraman. Don't leave.
I thought he'd have like a bigger post NFL career. I thought he'd be a movie star. I thought he's got that kind of a charm.
He's still on TV though. He's hanging in there.
Yeah. He does. Is he a studio guy?
I think he's still in the studio.
He does do studio stuff, but he hasn't kind of like during that. It was like a hurricane that they had in Houston, and it was like
51 inches of water.
A warning was like, do not leave your house. It will put these first responders in jeopardy. Do not make them have to go save you. And he put on Instagram, screw the tornado. I'm coming out. I'm going to work out. Yeah, and he had a picture of him, like, walking into the workout, like, through a big puddle. I'm like, you jacks. That was four. You're like, you absolute jerk. What are you doing that, putting these people in danger?
He did have a hard-o. He was a hard-o the first 5-6 years, and then he's mellowed out now, man. Now he's much more likable.
Yeah, no, I do. You're right. I've kind of switched on him. Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in 2 minutes. And then when we get back, we have been talking about Jaylen Brown and him heading to the Sixers and whether or not this could have been the best thing that could happen to the Celtics. There's a lot of articles written now about how the Celtics are going to be a better team statistically. But to me, I don't even think it's about the Celtics. I think it's about the disaster that is waiting for us with the 76ers. And there is one more element that could add to that. The one thing that everyone in the NBA seems to be waiting for could make things even worse in Philadelphia. We'll get to that in just 2 minutes.